Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
The cleaner in front, fast and free, he'll have a job to get past him. The cleaner knows how to fight, and he fights on and he wins. The cleaner first by a length.
Now, on Tas Racing Talk, time to talk thoroughbreds.
Welcome back after a week away to the co-development manager of Thoroughbred Racing, Simon Stout. Did you bring a note, Simon?
No, I think Dave filled in very ably for me last week.
Well, he's been telling me about it all week, that he tipped us a special last week, Landstar, who was the top pick in the distance championship and won impressively. So no doubt he's got the bragging rights in the office this week.
Yes, and we have all heard about it too.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. Now, what about the awards night? A great night, I believe.
Terrific night had by all, Shane. Was a very deserved winner, Black and Tough. Of course, winner of the Newmarket last year, and also the Tasmanian Stakes in defeating Gigi's Black Flash and the cleaner at Wait for Age, so she was a very deserved winner. Hall of Fame action saw Graham McCulloch and David Brunton, two of our more prominent trainers in recent years, and both premiership winning trainers, both inducted into the Hall of Fame. We've also saw the achievements of our premiership winners in the Bruntons, and Brandon McCool and Bullet Mooku also received their awards. So it was a terrific night, very positive sentiment from everyone in the room, and a good time had by all.
Well, a great way to finish last season, and this season up and running already. And you mentioned the cleaner then. Of course, it's setting out on its campaign this weekend to qualify for the Cox Plate.
Yeah, it takes on a very hot field in the Dato Tan Chin Nam at Mooney Valley over the mile. Of course, Stephen Arnold has replaced an injured Noel Callow, but certainly will lose nothing with Stephen in the saddle. And we wish Mick Bells and all the team all the very best. We'll be certainly a loud cheer from the island if the cleaner can salute in a Group 2 over there on Saturday.
Well, I'm sure we'll be barracking for the cleaner this week, that's for sure. Now, there are a number of great tools on tasracing.com.au that can help us find the winner. What did we learn from last week's review of the final day of the Winter Carnival at Devonport?
Well, the Topeda distance final, as you say, went to Landstar, very keenly tipped by Dave Manshannon on the show last week. And but from behind Landstar, Musique Player, he once again showed he's been in terrific form this time around. He reeled off very solid sectionals in having the best of the race for both the last 600 and the 400. He went sub 36 for his last 600, so he's hoof on the till yet again. And he can be followed for the remainder of the preparation. Back a race into race six, and we saw the very impressive Tennessee Drive, who we've spoken about in recent weeks on the show. He was quite unlucky to start before, and anyone that saw the video saw he nearly went down on his nose when he ran second to Berno. But he came out the other day in a very hot race with the likes of GG's Double J and Lustica, and he genuinely put them to the sword. He was a winner by over three lengths. He broke Aaron Zano's track record for the 1,000 metres at Sprayton and reeled off sub 23 400 and a sub 45 last 800. So genuine low flying from a horse who's got a big star next to his name, and looks as though if he can transfer that form, he will be one of our more prominent sprinters in coming times. We then go back to one of the maidens, and we've found one to follow here. And that's the Bill Ryan trained Siobhan Bell. She led and gave a lot of cheek two starts ago and was just run down by Host Esprit. She missed the kick a little bit and got back in the run the other day from a wider gate, but she charged to the line. She ran sub 37 for her last 600, was the best of the race by far, and she was able to in a race where eight horses ran a sub 48 last 800, suggests that this race is going to be quite a strong form race, and her sectionals were the best of it. So I think Siobhan Bell can find the right maiden shortly and win. And at the start of the day, we saw our last season's champion apprentice, Sigrid Carr, return to the winner's circle back from on a flying visit from Adelaide. She teamed up with the John Luttrell trained Our Lucky Girl over the 900 metres, and Our Lucky Girl She posted some really solid sectionals. She ran 43.96 for her 800 and sub 23 for her last 400, which over the 900 suggests that if she finds a nice class 1,000 metres and can replicate that, she'll be winning again.
Well, we come off the synthetic surface of the last 5 weeks back to the turf, so that's going to be a change for punters. 8 races on the card in Hobart this week. It looks a good card.
Terrific card, Shane. Very, very competitive. In just reviewing the data and the and what we've got going forward, and I would I think the website this week will be mandatory for anyone having a bet. There's quite a bit of form in terms of horses that are coming off off breaks and having trialled recently, and also horses from coming out of starts at Devonport in the last month. So there's a real mix of fresh form and current form there, and we've sifted our way through some of the current form to see if we can steer punters in the right direction. Certainly in race two, so much fun. Lost out on Protest behind GG's Classic Boy the other day at Devonport, and was some say a touch unlucky to lose that race. He gets Brendan McCool aboard this week and an opportunity to atone. You can certainly find the head-on replay and make that call for yourself in terms of how unlucky he was. But with even luck, hopefully he can find himself in the winner's circle for connections. Then into race three, they've got the maiden class one over 1,600 metres. And Bling Dynasty, he's featured in the Stridemaster Fast Finisher reports for both his runs in recent times. One of those was a second here in Hobart and the other a second at Devonport. So he's rated highly on the Fast Finisher report yet again, and he looks as though he'll be quite hard to beat there. Also in that field, we found one off the video and the stewards report that can go into the forgive file, and that's Little Sheikah. She had absolutely no room for the last 200 metres of her race when stuck on the inside at Devonport 2 weeks ago, and certainly, that's fairly obvious of the video as well. So if you found Little Sheikah last time, you can forgive her for that run. We move on to race four, and this is a terrific race with a 1,200 metre class one and last start winners in Hostess Bree and Me Consul. Certainly, we've got Me Consul on top here. Sub 34 last 600 was low flying at Devonport, showed exceptional ability for a horse that got back in the field, was able to weave its way through. Looks the one to beat there. We move on to race five, which is the benchmark 82, and we see the first of our Tapeta sprint form come to the fore here, Shane, with Minute Repeater, who was second to Barry Campbell's Innocent Gamble in the heat, and he finished off in a sub 36 last 600 for that race, and he also runs into Loaded Owners, who was placed in the final behind Innocent Gamble. Both have different racing patterns in Loaded Owners. He'll go forward and make the running, and we think Minute Repeater might be the stronger of the two over the last 200, and he's rated on top, but certainly a cracking race with the likes of Tuesday Night Delight and My Temptation coming back off a spell. Then we move on to race seven, Shane, and we've got GG's Martini here earmarked from the Fast Finishers reports. Ran a sub 37 last 600 without a lot of luck the other day when placing at Devonport, and looks to have found a nice race here. Bit of a watch in this race is number two, Mrs. Begley. She's having her first start for the Brunton camp. She's fairly lightly raced. But I think she's placed 6 out of 9 starts, and although she's had 2 trials down here and hasn't shown a hell of a lot in them, she's gone to the line well held both times. She's obviously a mare with more than her share of ability, so she's a bit of a watch on her. And we finish the day. We've got one earmarked down here. It's the first emergency downwind of Charlie Goggins and Luella Mayburn, one I know Dave Manchandon was very keen on. From his report last week, and her overall sectionals when finishing fifth the other day behind Chips, covered ground and ran from 10th at the 400 and run her last 635.75. So a replication of that will see her well into the race. And certainly if you're taking a quaddy and she doesn't get into the field, Allegro to Hera up number two up in the weights will utilise the claim of Mehmet Alusina. And Allegro to Hera, we highlighted on the show 3 or 4 weeks ago when she produced some nice sectionals first up in the Torpedo Sprint prelude. She then ran in the Torpedo Sprint final. She gets out to 1,400 here, which is more to her liking, and she's a very capable mare, so I certainly wouldn't be leaving her out of your multiples.
OK, you've given us plenty of ammunition this week, Simon. I'm sure we can return with a winner or two, and we thank you for your first-up effort from a spell and hope there's plenty of winners in that group of horses you've given us off the video replays and Stride Master on the tasracing.com.au website. We look forward to your company again next week.
Terrific, Shane. Thank you very much.
Taz Racing Talk. Everything you need to get the edge.
Taz Racing's journalist Peter Staples joins us now on Taz Racing Talk. How are you, Pete?
I'm good, Shane. Looking forward to the getting back on the grass.
Yeah, well, we've had the Winter Carnival Series. What do you think punters were able to take from that over the last 4 or 5 weeks?
I think they took a lot out of it. A lot of horses were bell-backed and a lot of money came out of the ring, or the corporate bookies copped it a bit, and probably some of them put up some silly odds, and they were snapped up, and the horses duly got the money, and Eternal Speed was one that was backed heavily on course and on the day, backed in from, I think it was $12 into $6.50, and that was quite substantial. It got the money. It's a nice horse on the rise with Nigel Shewring. And believe it or not, Tennessee Drive. There was money for Tennessee Drive only because GG's Double J was so short in the end. And, some good results with that. Good racing. I think overall, having 5 meetings in a row on the synthetic, punters are warm to it because you can really follow the form. And it certainly proved that on the last day. And, whenever they go to Devonport, you can be assured that from now on in, they're going to have pretty solid days on the punt.
And that form, that particularly the winning form, really stood up over the 5 weeks.
It did. You know, they raced in, they backed up fortnightly, and some, you know, backed up week after week. Ran 2 weeks in a row, spaced for a fortnight, or ran last week at the fifth meeting. And it's good. And the best part about it is, I think you'll find that the form that's been shown on the Torpedo, when we get back to the grass, you'll see form following on from there. I don't think it's just Torpedo horses only. I think the form that they've shown up there, I think a lot of them will carry it on to the grass when they get there.
Well, we'll soon find out because we've got 8 races coming up in Hobart on Sunday. The rail's out 1 metre for the entire circuit. Currently a slow 7 with a penetrometer at 5.49. So let's try and nail this quaddie again. You were able to pick it for us last week. The first leg is race number 5. It's the benchmark 82 handicap. Over 1,100 and loaded owners coming off that last start 3rd behind Innocent Gamble in the sprint final at Devonport.
Yeah, look, we've only got a small field here, but it's an interesting field. You've got Loaded Owners, as you know, who won and ran third to Innocent Gamble in the final. Minute Repeater, he missed out last time out, but he certainly was a terrific first-up effort. And you've got My Temptation, Neil Richardson's mare. Now, she was being touted as a Thomas Lyons quality weight for age winner last season. And her form just waned a little bit because she's a little bit temperamental, but she won a trial impressively in Hobart yesterday. And look, it's an interesting race. I think 1, 4 and 3, you should pretty much get the first leg up if you just take Minute Repeater 1, My Temptation 3 and Loaded Owners 4. And if you wanted to go any wider, JB's GG number 2 would be a chance. But I really think the first three... I'd be reasonably confident about just taking 1, 3 and 4 in the first leg.
Okay, race number 6 is the benchmark 62 handicap. We've got Chips going for a winning hat-trick. Dollar Dan, first run on the track.
Yeah, well, you can't not put Chips on top because of his form at Devonport. He's won 3 of his last 4. And good story with Chips. He was the owner. Was sort of at his wits' end with Chips. He'd been knocking on the door and not quite going through with it all. And trainer Gary White said, look, you should keep it going with him, whatever. And anyway, the owner finished up, selling him for not a lot of money to Gary. And he's won 3 from 4 since then. But he's always shown, plenty of promise. And he's got to be included. He runs very well at Hobart. and the 1600 metres is a good trip for him. Digger's Dame was an impressive winner last start in at Devonport. Now, before the race, I spoke to John Blacker and he said, I think she'll need this. And then she comes out and wins. So if she needed it, she still won despite it. So she's going to be improved from that. She's got a nice gait and 1.5 kilo claim for Georgie Catania, puts it on 56. I think they're the top two chances. But Dollar Dan, there were some excuses for him last start. He was very impressive winning second up at Devonport, but he lost his way a little bit and things just didn't work out. Glenn Stevenson's put a 3 kilo claimer on. Mehmet Alusanar, he jumps on, carrying 58.5. The highest rated horse in the race, clearly, it's 67 rater. So he's got a good horse's weight in this race. We'd have to give him another chance, along with Kuta Fides. Getaway Gold, I think, is a chance. Bullet Muku on, despite the wide gate. He rides his horse well. And probably Cielo Duro, I would expect improvement, fourth up from a spell and back on the grass. I think she'll be much better on the grass. And Adam Trinder's book, Corey Parrish, left-hand whip rider. She's drawn barrier three, and she's a go-forward horse. They'd be my top six chances. GG's Opera's been too disappointing for me. So I'd be 2-9-1, and then 3-6-11. So in numerical order, 1-2-3-6-9-11. I would have to go wide in this second leg. 1-2-3-6-9-11.
Race number 7 is the Class 2. It's over 1,100. We've got an interesting runner here, Miss Begley from the Brunton Stable, having its first run in the States. Been off the scene for 12 months. Do we know much about it?
Well, trialled in Hobart yesterday and finished four lengths behind them. But there's some good horses in the trial. Have a look at the trial. Go to tasracing.com.au and click on video replays and the trials are up. And have a look at Mrs. Begley, how she hit the line four lengths behind them. So not too bad. Form was pretty good, albeit on the country tracks, before it came over here. It's in terrific hands with Dave and Scott Brunton, their premier trainers. Certainly a big watch and it's definitely an include in the quaddie. Unexposed form, though, Mundine loves this track. Has had a break, just been freshened up for this. 55 kilos with Hayley McCarthy's claim. Barrier 6 is lovely, just be, you know, slot midfield. And, you know, she just gets the right breaks on go Mundine's way. I see him winning again. So I've got Mundine on top over Beryl B. I think she'd be better off, you know, better served third up from a spell. She was placed at her 2 runs. Prior to this, and was very competitive. And then GG's Martini won 4 starts back at Devonport and then has come out and run 3 subsequent minor placings and didn't have a lot of luck last time out. We'll appreciate getting back on the grass as well. And Jamie Bayliss gets a chance to ride one or maybe a couple of winners for Stuart Gandy. He's on all of his, or 4 of his 5 runners. He got 2 in the last race. But Jamie gets a chance to get a win aboard GG's Martini if he can get her into good, clear racing room in the home straight. She's been a bit unlucky of late. And Mrs. Begley, of course. Johnny Black has got a couple coming back from spells. Symbol of Freedom, he's got an opinion of. And Topiary, that won two of the last 3 starts. But I just think it might be a little bit short for both of them. But Georgie Catania is on Topiary and might sprint well fresh. But on exposed form, I'm going to stick with 1, 5, 7, and 2. So numerical order in the third leg, 1, 2, 5, 7.
Race number 8 on the card, the benchmark 72. It's over the 1,400. We've got Prince Obama going for back-to-back wins. Got a pretty good record on the track too, having won 3 out of 11.
Now that he's found form, Shane, I'm going to stick with him. He's a good horse, and when good horses get in form, they usually hold it. They've been careful to place him well in this race. The benchmark 72, he's a 68 rater, so he gets in with 57, and I think that's a good rate. Not sure. I haven't got a rider listed. Have you got a rider listed there, Shane?
Not on the sheet in front of me, no.
Yeah, it's just there waiting on a rider for Prince Obama, but if everything works well, I think Prince Obama starts and lines up. He'd be very, very hard to beat. Thought O'Reilly's GG. I spoke to Stuart Key this morning, and he's upbeat about his chances. He's been unlucky. He won first up. Then he was placed last time out at Devonport. I think he's better on the grass and he's better on if it rains on Saturday and Sunday. Then put more on O'Reilly's GG because he just loves it when it's wetter. But he does handle it, you know, when the ground's, you know, just dead to slow. But he's a much better when it's mudlark conditions. DeFoy, his stablemate, number 9, is first up for spell, been a link spell. A little leg injury, but he's got plenty of ability. And Stuart Gandy's very upbeat about his chances first. David Perez takes the ride. But we can't read too much into that because Ismail Tata, the apprentice, Barry Campbell's apprentice, he's been aboard O'Reilly's GG all three runs this prep. So he stays on, which is the reason why Dave Perez wouldn't be on him, because he probably had the choice. Although Dave Perez does have a good opinion of DeHoy. And Volcanic Sky will improve on the grass, and especially if it gets a little bit wetter. She was impressive in winning in Launceston, the last meeting of the season, of last season, on that track, and then went to Devonport and didn't quite handle the firmer conditions. She does need it, plenty of softness in the ground. A good race to close with. I'm putting 4, 6, 8 and 9, and in that order, 4, 6, 8 and 9 the last. So, Aquati Shane, I've got it down to this. The first leg, 1, 3 and 4. In the second leg, 1, 2, 3 and 9. In the third leg, 1, 2, 5 and 7. And in the last leg, 4, 6, 8 and 9. That's $192 or $38.40 for a 20% share.
And if I took a 10% share, I can get it down to
$19.
$19. If I took a 5% share, I'll get it down under $10. It's about my go, Pete, but I'm sure you can certainly turn that into a profit for me. Good luck with those selections. What about the best bet for us? You got one we can stand out anywhere?
Yeah, look, I like a couple of things early in the day, and I think Bling Dynasty in race 3, Brendan McShane's Bling Dynasty, I think it's an absolute special. Bullet Mooku on board, barrier 5, a maiden class 1. It's 1,600 metres. That'll do me. Whatever I get on Bling Dynasty, I'll probably have each way on GG's, the stablemate, Host Esprit, in the next race, race 4, number 2. So Brendan McShane to win races 3 and 4.
Okay, well, good luck with those selections, and thanks for your thoughts and your insights into the meeting coming up on Sunday. Promises to be a great card, 8 races there, and I'm sure our listeners out there will be making plenty of money from your selections this week, Pete.
I hope I am as well, Shane, and I'll be on a little bit of leave for the next 3 weeks, so you'll have a decent fill-in while I'm away, and I look forward to catching up with you in October.
Oh, well, you'll have plenty of spending money the way you've been going of late, Pete. Thanks for your efforts today.
Condition.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.